annual report of the department and the financial statements. I am informed that the chief financial officer is probably here being held up by the interview. I think they all are. Is the chief financial officer with you? Okay. We have to apologize to the that we are not able to present to you much the minutes of our last year. And I am sure that you understand the reasons why we are coming. Those who are
taking
security.76 is basically the wrong section. So that was not the label at that point. But look at page 55, where he talks about the select committees. Let's look at 154, where it says, each party represented in the council, each party represented in the council, is entitled to proportional representation, or proportional representation is not possible on account of the party's size to one representative on the committee. Each delegation head may, however necessary, authorize one or two special members to attend the committee meeting where not have their representation. 155.1, except when a question is decided, business may proceed irrespective of the number of members present. And it says, this is important. This is important. 154.2, when a question that does not fall under section 675 of the Constitution is to be decided, committee members are representing at least 5 provinces or 6 provinces in case of constitutional amendment. But it says committee members, if a question that does not fall under section 675. The question that we said yesterday falls in section 75. So let's look at point 3 in bracket. When a question is to be cited in terms of section 75 of the Constitution, A, the question may be decided only if a majority of the permanent members of the committee is present. Right? And it says B, if a question is decided by the majority of the books class. The question that immediately comes to mind then is how do you ascertain the votes? So we read C. If there is an equal number of votes on each of each side of the question, the chairperson must pass a deciding vote in addition to the vote as an ordinary member. Therefore, my interpretation thereof is that it is members.
Okay, just quickly, how many members were there?
There were five.
Five, okay. How many permanent members are we on the committee? 11. You did, you know, look at the allocation, there's 11. You did not have a quorum for that meeting to proceed with the vote. And you can try and push it forward, but then you will be challenged because that was communicated that there's 11 permanent members. All the select committees got 11 members and there's one select committee that's got 12 members. So you can decide how you want to proceed with it. I'm just putting it there.
Let me show how you're wrong.
No, you can try
to... Because you can't have 11 members. Because Honorable Suka was a member of this committee and he was wrong. Honorable Swane, he was a member. Honorable Zondi from Kazuna Natal has been replaced as a member of this committee. He were, in fact, not 11. What is happening now is that we have 10. That you are wrong. It's not all committees don't have 11. 5 is not a quarter.
Even for 10, 5 is not a quarter.
No.
So you can go ahead and I'm just putting it now. You're going to get challenged on this or you're going to put that and they can be a quarter.
So, yes.
I think we should proceed there with the business of the day. And with the understanding that the meeting of the third day has created, has made a decision. Yeah. If anybody wants to challenge it, I think they know the challenge of challenging a decision of the meeting, and we'll take it from there. Yeah. And may I also inform this meeting that this matter has also been discussed in the programming committee meeting just before this one, and the chair of chairs have asked that he will be taking this matter himself up to check whether the meeting has legally pending and so on. So this cannot arise here. And Chairperson, also a point must be that we will not be delayed by the opposition in our meeting to make progress for the country. They will try their life as well to try to delay that, but we will continue to also assist the other part of the country.
Okay, I notice. Let's not have cross-talking with the meeting. We will not. We are in a formal meeting. If you wish to address the member, please do it through the chair. Honorable
Chair, I recognize you, and Honorable Chair. Hi. Earlier on, when I saw that we were railing, I wanted to raise my hand, and you did not notice. I would humbly request that we proceed with what we are here for, the business of the Select Committee. And if there is any other matter that we need to deal with, we can then deal with after releasing the distinguished guests that are here to present to my attention.
Honorable Father, but I have also heard from you that you have the support of the public to support the process which we want to report for this because you're raising it formally. I'm ruling a challenge. If you want to challenge my rule,
okay,
you can
rule it, okay? I mean, you cannot be somebody peeling up the next day and I supported it the previous day. If you're not there, you're not there. So we'll take it forward, but okay. You have to have a body in the seat. Otherwise, you could pass the door of the lot because you had your people that you can talk to.
I have made a ruling on the matter for the Lunita. I'm not going to allow you to speak. I'm closing the matter. I've ruled. If anybody wants to challenge my rule, you are at freedom. We are in a democracy. And you can do that. Can we get to the business of the day? Our apologies to the colleagues from the Department of Energy who were delayed by the processes at the gate. It's outside of our control. We are hoping that we will get the projector working in the meantime, but we don't want to hold back for business.
Citizen, can I come in on a bit of privilege? I think it also applies on committee meetings because the rules are not suspended in committee meetings. You know, Chairperson, the leadership of this country serving in
the highest house in this company to act responsible all the time. I'm sitting here, Honorable Lord, have chanted to me, you know, hearted symbol, you know. Is that really an acceptable language in a meeting of the committee? You know, and this kind of tendency, this kind of white tendency that people seem to have seen.
Honorable Lord, can you say that? So you must stop steamrolling things through.
No.
You mustn't lie and you mustn't use racist things when you lose an argument.
No,
my question to you is, did you say
okay.
No, see, you mustn't steamroll things through. Let's continue. We agreed that we will have the presentation following our hard copies until such time that we have the may I ask that you, for our meditator, please just introduce yourself again. And anyone who then does a contribution to also do the same. So make it easier. We don't have all the noise. Please be here.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, folks. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Firstly, before I start, I'm for the Uchiwanas, I'm the DDG for Projects and Programs. I've been asked to do the presentation on behalf of the DG, DG Vani Zulu. College for me, what the Minister is involved with in the coming meeting with the Minister of DRC. So because the original meeting was done yesterday, they proceed with the international meeting with the international delegation, and yesterday can't be here. I also apologize to Mr. Wim and Pine, and that's also involved in this meeting that the lead of CHIL, that is an operational level dealing with. So I thought I should record those apologies. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Honorable Chair, members. Unfortunately, can't get communication between the projector and the screen. So just bear with me. I'm going to deal with this path very quickly. And I apologize for my back. It's a really difficult situation to talk. So I can do the chair.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
sure. Chair, thanks. The presentation, the way in terms of time, that we are divided is that I will do the first part of it and then the CFO, Ms. Concetti, will do the financial part. So the presentation itself is the way we structured it in a manner to cover the annual performance plan of the department as well as the financials of. That is not to deal with each of the, I think, the 77 slides. The slides are there for majority of background information. We take it that our annual report has been written. So what I will do, I will cover the, some aspects of the non-financial component, and then the financial component will also be dealt with then with Mr. Chetty. So that is the background that I sketch. I'm going to put in straight into to slide 6 instead of going through the content, etc., because that will come out with an article and it's summarized in the way I just mean. The way we structure is first on page 6, on first the line function department operating in the energy space, that the service delivery environment of the department spells out there. It ranges from being responsible for developing policies, but also some regulatory responsibilities that we have, and then also to overseeing some implementation of project on the ground. We will also deal with that in the presentation. And then definitely to ensure that there is energy carrier access that can supply our electricity, our petroleum sectors. And then at the end, it's also important that there needs to be access of these services to the customers and citizens of the country. Now the department has a therefore responsibility, if you look take that as the environment and the mandate of the department, is under the service delivery on slide 6, I'm still, there's a couple of aspects that we just want to highlight. The one is the issue about the energy mix implementation, and we will deal with that in a moment's time. is one thing to say like energies, instead of electricity or petroleum, but you also need the manner in which you utilize your energy to be in an efficient and sustainable manner. Then we also have the Integrated National Replacement Program, which is the rollout of the access to electricity, one of the biggest programs in the world, focusing on access to electricity. Then there's also bringing energy businesses and access to energy as close as possible to customers, and that's what we refer to with the establishment of energy centers. The next service delivery activities, opportunities in the energy space. I think it's all important that SMEs and communities need to see opportunities in this energy environment. Definitely, regulation of the industry specifically, which is then organized from the inner part of the petroleum, monthly you will receive either a good or a bad media statement coming from the gentleman there in the corner. His section is the regulation around it, and that's a service that is delivered, but also I think also this is like action to the economy in the country in terms of that. But it is also the issue about the fact that the department also has responsibility around the safe usage of nuclear products in the country. And I especially want to underline with products. It's not only about a nuclear power station, but there's various nuclear applications in the country which need to be regulated under international as well as national regulation. And there's also regulation function of that. It's part and parcel of the oversight of the department. And then we also have six SOEs that's reporting to the department, and that's also what we have in the facility. That is, I mean, just to put a soft landing of what you're talking about. We can go into detail and use a lot of smart management to describe our report. Therefore, we're going to bring in what we call in relation to KISA, a three-foot level over. If we can move to slide six, in this service delivery environment, I think the one that comes to mind is electricity. Remember, it's always difficult, I'll share members, if you reflect in November of 2015 on your annual report for the 2015, there needs to be an issue to put in what is relevant now. So I think I just want to mention, remember we're going to reflect what has happened in 2015 financial year. Yes, I was thinking maybe here and there some latest issues, but please take cognizance that the data is close to 1 year back, data we refer. But irrespective, in that financial year, 2015, the one aspect that definitely was putting us as a country and the economy serious harm was the non-availability of electricity. And this slide is in reflecting slide, is in reflecting the impact of electricity and other priorities of government in terms of the nine priorities of government as it's spelled out by the State of the Nation address. I'm just going to move to the issue of one because then I can follow quickly with the talk that
we have to work open with the election of
need to focus where you do. Hence why, if you look at slide 8, the the importance of certain science policies like systems integrated energy plan, and specifically the integrated resource plan, which will spell out where we want to go in terms of the energy and electricity generation for the future of this country, what is also one anchor point in dealing with it. But also with it, as you know, there was an energy war room, electricity war room being established to assist with this electricity supply challenge we had. And specifically out there, there was a 5-point plan that said that we need to be focused on to bring us back to a normal supply and demand situation. And these are some of the issues around our electricity supply that we dealt with in the last financial year. Just very brief slides on which here, members. Is one that is just dealing with some of those electricity aspects. It is one thing around the energy supply from Eskom, where the maintenance the challenge has been addressed and that has given us some traction the last couple of months that's positive. It's also for a long term and medium term, we need to plan how is electricity going to be generated and be added to the network. And indicated here is what is already been determined, is already been planned and down the track is an additional code of 2,500 megawatts in this financial cycle issued to IRC to gain the interest and some very, very good feedback on what is potentially available inside the country and into our neighboring countries. It also co-generates with a lot of industries that are dealing with energy, which are excess energy we can utilize in making electricity. Then we try to harvest, we already put out our examples for neighborhood companies. And then it's also the gas. Gas is the way to also assist in bringing immediate electricity to the grid. And various aspects around gas have been dealt with in this financial period. And also indicated that the plan around the framework have been issued, and also issued the RFI, which will obtain quite interesting feedback in terms of addressing gas. I think I speak to, for the sake of the name that just mentioned, we are actually talking about three types of gas. Talk about the natural gas, then talk about your gas, you can always find around your coal deposit, then you get to LP gas. LP gas is not defined here as part of that, that's part of your petroleum career. So just want to find that gas here is free to your coal gas, your unconventional gas and natural gas. And then these speakers, now we are aware that Eskom has two feeder stations, the two that assist to run on diesel. But a couple of years ago, you also went out and tender, and these two of these feeder stations now, one has been completed just outside of Elizabeth in the Kuba IDD, and 360 megawatts of supply into the grid, and already been assisted us, and the business team has come, and the one outside of Durban, outside of the airport, outside of Trump, 630, that will be finished by the, they will probably start to synchronize in April, May next year, and they're quite on target. So I will add in just over 1,000 megawatts of standby generation that can come in when we have problems, which all adds up to assist us in the supply and demand balance. The integrated renewables, up till now, 6,925 megawatts have been determined and been contracted through 92 contracts that have been signed through the different windows. We now, window 4 that's broken up in three different windows, so window 4, window 4B, and then a reopener, that all been determined in that period. This is just a summary slide here on the different technology and the process that's been allocated for renewable energy. If we can move to the next delivery environment, it's in nuclear. As part of the way forward, I mentioned coal and gas, nuclear is also part of that. It's been known that environmental agreements have been signed. What is important of this is that it's all to do with the very technologies that these countries have to offer in terms of such a goal program being implemented. I think it's important also that we need to build capacity, and in this regard, the various such agreements that's been part and parcel of these international agreements that's been signed, that is part of nuclear training, and the next is just the first bank, a bunch of 50
people that have been trained in China. It's just a list of who they are, where they're coming from, and this is only the first part of the training. There's various agreements inside, and there's currently also some people being prepared to go out for the next round of training. I think it's important that if we talk about generation, we need to talk in the same breath about energy efficiency. What is actually going to be done? We have the energy, which actually has some relations that have been drafted in the spirit, which is now being implemented. But it's important that out of this, a couple of things, I can mention that a few years expects, and I think we shifted the so-called 12L incentive. A big business comes to the party to assist in terms of decreasing energy and action demand. But also, there's also some engagement from public enterprises, sort of public works, just the national government buildings, retrofit some technology to decrease the consumption, to limit the number of buildings in the country. It's going to have a severe positive effect on our consumption. But also, we already saw, because of these initiatives that we as a department have done through our energy efficiency demand management program, that a number of municipalities have converted not only streetlights, but the buildings and the pumps, which is huge hunger energy, hunger electricity consuming devices. And those all added up to decrease our demand. So even if the demand decrease that has taken place, it's not only because of lower economic activity, but definitely better management of electricity, but also better energy efficiency that's been applied. There's still a lot more to do, but I wanted to mention that this is one of the low-hanging fruits that the fruits that we are concentrating heavily on behalf of us. The one of them also is on solar meters, which is a social as well as the energy efficiency activity. The program that I've run up to now that we have been known about was what we call previously ESCOM rebate. That has been stopped, and ESCOM needs to move to a light function department to deal with it as a service delivery activity. And in this period of covering, we have then also closed down the ESCOM and then moved into what we call the contracting model, where it will be locally inspected, systems for local conditions are not imported as it is, and nobody is looking after them, etc. So it's a totally different contracting model, which will have a social component for especially low consuming customers, electric customers, but also to emphasize local content, local installation, and also maintenance. But it's also a low reduction component, which is full of hiking your customer that access to electrical meters, that those users to the point it is very difficult. You can't just walk in and say, now you can take out your existing meter and replace with a new one. The cost aspect of that and the legal aspect is very difficult. What is it is went into a partnership with the insurance industry in the country, where they can then offer to each a client when a user is faulted, replace it with a solar water-based user that will supply the hot water to your electrical meter. So it's not that you get out of hot water, then your water can feed your meter. It's going to be so much warmer that in summertime, in the majority of places, your geyser is not going to switch on. So, and windows are much less, so in that respect, you can actually save quite a number of megawatts. It's determinatively fully implemented. The approximately 8 million geysers that's in the country, plugging with this type of technology, you can actually save one power station of electricity in winter time. And that's the amount of electricity that gets consumed. It's a way of your total bill of average household of saying you consume, say, 1,400 units a month. 25% to 30% of that is uptaken by solar and by your heater. So you can decrease that. It's a mostly highest kind of consuming appliance in your house. That's where we want to construct. So sorry, I don't have that, but detail, but I think it's important. Training around installers and the maintenance team. It's a new program that we run, and just keep the scoreboard, look at the scoreboard. We see this as something that is coming in and can assist localization in a way. Petroleum industry, there's a couple of issues that you highlighted today. One is the biofuel. So what happens is the biofuel is as it is, we can't find the petroleum being run as a 2% supplement to your normal refined product. in subsidy and with decrease, a dramatic decrease in your crude oil price in this period, you felt we need to revisit that we're not put too much strain on the system, and the modeling work has to be done, and to some extent, the decrease in the crude oil price and the weakening of the rand has sort of cancelled each other out to the fact that the subsidy that's been allocated for this is not going to be too much more than what was budgeted for. So that was the fact that we have to move to cleaner fuels, so-called CTH2 or EU standard 5. That we need a processing of your refineries. So your refineries need to be upgraded. That has some financial implications. There's some issue who's to pay for the customer or the state. And it's starting dealing with that to ensure that it's for both parties or three parties in this process is urine and that you're not damaging the economy. Which is also important is that I mentioned earlier that LPG is part of the petroleum industry. There's a whole strategy that we are developing now to ensure that you increase the LPG gas utilization and also the speeding and not running out of LPG gas. There's also strategies that we developed in that point now and now we've implemented.
I want to, Honourable Chairperson, on the comments if I may, it's not that we don't, we're afraid of our figures, it is that we want to get to the discussion question point. On electrification, I think that is one other important delivery of the department. This last financial year, we delivered 247.5 times plus minus connection. Our target is 260 times, so we fall below that. There's some reasoning behind it. We have focused quite intensively on those 26 most depressed district municipalities in the country. There's a lot of backlogs in terms of infrastructure that we have to create, so that has a negative effect on our numbers. But I can assure you next year when we come back, you will see that we will catch up. This is the catch-up process. To catch up those, what we have lost in 14-15, to catch up in 15-16. The special team that we have put together to ensure that we can get those figures back to where we're supposed to be. But remember, our target is 2025, universal access. The next slide is just about organisation. So we have dealt with the service delivery. What is this feature called new ecosystem? These are the programs we're focusing on and on this information. And I think the way I dealt with it optimized is sort of feeling what the department's broken up into. So this is for our own reading what we are doing in the respective programs. I think what's important, and just to summarize this slide, is that last year was a difficult year in the fact that your ex-co, if you lose two of your ex-co members plus a DG in one financial year, it does have so we have to reflect on that. But otherwise, we kept the lights on when you're supposed to be, you draw new connections where you're supposed to be. I think it's important that if you are a younger partner, a lot of young staff members, you need to invest heavily in training. I can mention and the staff members and the FDG responsible for HR also here, and he's very passionate about this also, that last year 384 officials were trained. They got special training under our workplace skill development plan program. On top of that, 39 additional issues have been allocated, which brought the total of our institution that has studied courses at universities and other long-term institutions to 68, which is quite remarkable for the number of officials that have been in the department level, which is the next slide we'll reflect on that. But just before we read the 100% if you see the 783 officials within the department, it is quite, I think, something that we're very proud of, the number of people that have been trained. In terms of the way the department also operates, the regional offices, we have offices throughout the whole country. we have last year decided time to split off our offices, split off things that for social reasons we were still sharing offices with the Department of Mineral Resources, historically of the Department of Mineral Resources, and it's quite an effort to establish your own buildings. So last year we started that type of process, and this year, as I mentioned, and although it's not the fact yet, that we have moved into our own office, own things, etc. But next year we can reflect, I think, on all of that. The last one is that I think I said apart from being to know if you need to develop the policies, etc. But if you link to the overall government policy, and I think the most crucial one for us is on the NDP. I just listed here, if you look at NDP and it's specifically focused on the aspect of energy supply and energy access, there's some very specifics that's been mentioned. And this is the list and our guiding principles around where we need to go. By looking at it and see what we have delivered, and then I can say that we have done, we have addressed all of that, maybe not all of that to the same level of finalization, because some of it is complex, some of it is infrastructure, lots of infrastructure, but all of what is in the field, we have addressed and have dealt with. Yes, there's a policy that's still outstanding to finalize some of the aspects, but I can mention that what is there we have taken as part of our focus area. I think it's important that in that context then you need to see what is the policies that and legislation that the department has dealt with in that period. There's a list of what we have dealt with. Some of them have moved in the feeder system, some of them are still on our desk to be finalized and the process to be implemented to Parliament and eventually for consideration. I think that is with respect to the financial performance, just to give you an overview of what we have done, the next couple of slides, I'm literally just going to push you because it's just an indication what we are doing is important. We need to say, how are we linking it with SEC process? How are we linking with the priorities, outcomes, reporting, outcomes, and so on? Here, we list all of that, linking it in with the associated program of the department. You see that we're working, what they're doing is totally linked with the national government's priorities and framework for going forward. This is also an aspect that I think is important in our international activities, and I'm continuing with all of this. I should mention one of the aspects that's right now being busy discussed between the two governments is treaty where electricity and hydropower will be generated by the River Congo in different phases and the phase, there's already two being installed, but the third one, we call it phase one, but it's H3, it will be generated 2,400 megawatts, which is Africa. A lot of legal and technical aspects to be sorted out around that, and that is very important. Last financial cycle, we had a treaty being signed by Parliament. I think what is important about bilateral activities is that we as a country as a department has 63 international bilaterals that we have to service. If you think to yourself, it's quite a handful to deal with, but it's important. Energy is not a national security matter, it's a national matter, and we're dealing with various international forums. Just came back from the National Energy Association, a general meeting in Paris, for all the problems with the. And Africa, among the top countries, are still regarded as one of the leading countries in terms of giving guidance on energy matters in the world. And that's because of the international relations and the way we deal. I think it's important, the other aspect is that the State Nations Group, Honourable President, made certain reference to energy matters. This next slide is to update what we have done around it. It has been addressed, and I think this is detailed, but I told for reading that. All I can say is that all the aspects there have been dealt with. The next couple of slides is our highlights of our performance of the department, and I regard that as background information.
on the chair, there is some additional information that we can deal with, which is summarized here, which in a sense has been mentioned earlier. I'm just going to make reference to the fact that if they're convincing, we're more than willing to take questions on any of these aspects of nothing that we don't want to mind about here. It's just that it's just a detail, I think, in my introductory first couple of slides on what was most of these aspects. Then just maybe as the end of our statement, entities there as an entity, something, as I said, group of companies, it's NERSA, NEXA, the National Nuclear Regulator, SANEDI, and then the Energy Nuclear Waste, NARADI, are the six entities reporting to us. We are very proud, and I don't want to see the title of this, the CFO, but that three of these four these entities have received unqualified service. There are some turnaround strategies that have been implemented, as I said, group of companies, and some changes have been voted to turn around, and we're dealing with that also at the DDD, ACDG, also that we've also been in the back, and if there's anything around that, I think that is, Arnold Chair, the section on the non-profit financial report. If you allow us, can we just carry on straight into the financial performance section and then deal with all questions at the end? But in your hands, the CFO is here, so you can deal with the financial performance, or we can deal with the questions, deal with it, and come back.
Honourable members, I think that we have a protocol where we get the full picture, where we look at the figures against all so far. So we would be glad to have the CFO.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Management of the Department of Energy and Commerce from the Department. I'll take you through the 2014-15 financial statements. Members, I have to also alert you that some of the comments that I will make will be repeated because I've presented the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and the fourth quarter, so you might have comments that are needed. The financial statement has been prepared on a modified cash basis as defined by the National Treasury.
I know that. I know.
My apologies, Chairperson. I'm Vaughn Chetty, the CFO at the Department of Energy. In terms of the challenges, there have been some issues around the appointment of service providers with requisite sector skills. However, some of these challenges have been rectified subsequent to years. Some of our achievements for the past financial year have been that we achieved a clean audit after 4 years of service. Thank you. The final appropriation of the Department of Energy increased from 6.5 billion in the 2013 financial year to 7.4 billion in 2014-15 financial year. And the final appropriation in terms of the program administration covers the ministry, the DG's office, the chief financial officer's office, the governance and compliance, and corporate services. Energy planning and policy at 53 million. Petroleum and petroleum products regulation, 75.9 million. Electrification and energy programs and projects at 59.1 million. Nuclear energy, 34.5. Clean energy, 44.4. Sanevi at 162.6 million. Partner government and organizations at 21.8. They are very membership fees in that. Demand for energy efficiency program, 1.7 billion. Next up, 706 million. The nuclear, National Nuclear Regulator, 33.6 million. The Integrated National Electrification Program, 4.1 billion. And some of the CETAs had a small allocation, giving us a total of 7.4 billion that was appropriated by National Treasury. Chairperson, this is just dramatically illustrating the share of the budget as it's been allocated, which I've just referred to. And you could see the biggest chunk of the budget goes to the INS program for electrification. Second goes to the demand side and energy efficiency program, and third to NECA. NECA we do contribute to operational costs, and the balance of it goes to the cost strategic facilities that need reallocation. We now move on to the statement of financial performance, which was the previous income statement. It shows the revenue that we received, expenditure, and surplus we had for the financial year. The annual appropriation is 7.4 billion, which we received from FISCUS. The department revenue, we received money funds for petroleum licenses, debt recovery, a little bit of interest that we received. And then we have donor funding in the form of aid assistance, and this one specifically is from the European Union. Total revenue for the financial year was 7.5 billion. We had expenditure, current expenditure, which covers compensation of employees, that is all our payroll costs, and goods and services, which is all our operational expenditure. Transfer to subsidies was 5.8 billion, which is the biggest portion of our budget that goes to entities and some of our municipalities. These are for additional grants to municipalities, ESCOM, NECA, and to some of our entities, as I mentioned. Expenditure for capital assets is 23.7. Payment for financial assets is a small amount. And in total, expenditure was 6.5 billion. However, chairperson, at the end of the financial year, we had a surplus of 1.2 billion. As a breakdown of the surplus funds, total funds was 1.2 billion, department revenue 5.2, and aid assistance 4.2. The chairperson, I will give you some of the reasons or the reasons for the surplus. One of the biggest issues was a transfer to ESCOM, which did not take place, which is our voted fund of 1.1 billion. It was due to a new implementation model that was going to be rolled out for the Golden Water Heating Program. So again, it was due to a mutual agreement between ESCOM and the department that the transfer will not take place, and that money has to return to National Treasury. Sending our economic classification, our budget has been broken up into these major categories. Compensation of employees for the year, we have 233 million. Goods and services, 244 million. Transfers and subsidies, 6.9 billion. And capital assets, 5.1 giving us the total budget of 7.4 billion. We spent 6.2 billion. We had an unspent balance, which I've mentioned, and the actual spend on the entire budget for the year was 86.66. If you isolate the transfer payment to ESCOM, which was not the first, due to the new implementation model, then we would spend 98% of our budget. If I move along here, in terms of financial performance per program, administration, which I mentioned constituted, it had 260 million spent, it spent 257 million, it had a small unspent balance. And if I have to state most of the reasons for the unspent, I will give you just the top overview, if possible. Energy policy and planning had 53 million of the budget. It spent 41.7 million. It had an unspent balance. The actual spend was 58.7%. Petroleum and petroleum product regulation had 78.2 million of the budget. Spent 64.5 million. And the actual spend as a percentage is 82.5% for the year. Electricity and energy program management, that's the IM program. It had 4.2 billion, 4.1 billion was disbursed and spent, which actually spent for the year 99.1%. Nuclear energy, 846.5 million was the budget. It actually spent 845.4 million. It spent 99.9% for the financial net of the budget that was allocated to that program. Clean energy at 1.9 billion. It spent 870 million. 41.9% for the financial year. As you can see here, the biggest contributor there again, as I mentioned earlier, was the ESCOM transfer, and that is the main reason for that. If you analyze the financial performance, which I've just spoken about, in the next few pages, I'm going to give you the reasons. If I go through them one at a time, compensation of employees overall. Much of the budget content was due to vacant positions in departments. However, the recruitment process for the majority of the positions are not completed, but at present it was at its final stage. From subsequent hearings, some of these positions have reported. The position has managed to put it itself, not to totality, but in certain positions. Business services. Dispersed payments totaling 209 million for the procurement of various goods and services, which resulted in an underpayment of 74.74 million. Attributable to the delays in appointing service drivers was one of our biggest reasons. However, Chair, some of our sources are now matured. Projects have taken off in the new financial year. Contracts have been signed in a little quicker turnaround time than you used to. I think the service providers also now know what it is to be more compliant in terms of delivery. So much of this has been corrected. Also contributed to business services understand we have harsher reduction measures implemented by the department as the cabinet instruction that was issued to the department. So we have managed to get some savings on travel and subsistence in the department. We also had some delays in the relocation of regional offices, which contributed to the understand, and the procurement of furniture because those offices were not relocated timely. And there are various reasons for not relocating that was beyond the control of the department. Travel payments, which contributes to about 93% of the budget. We have dispersed payments amounting to 5.74 billion to the public entities, municipalities, and implementing agencies against a budget of 6.92 billion. This resulted in an underspending of 1.1 billion. The major contributors to this underspending is 35.5 million is for the INAP non-recertification program due to the late start of projects in the 2014-15 financial year. As a result of delays in finalizing the implementation agreements, our LKS impacted on the amount that was transferred. Subsequently, the rent all of these have been rectified. Also contributing to the transfer payment underpayment was the 1.4 billion that should have been transferred to ESCOM for the solar water heating program, which could not be transferred due to challenges in the implementation of that project by ESCOM. The re-engineering of the program was inevitable during the financial year. However, there was a mutual agreement between the department and ESCOM where this program was put on hold and the new implementation model has been rolled out. And there has been substantial progress in the financial year. We are in advanced stage for that program. For the months that is specifically under transfer payments, a request has been submitted to National Treasury to roll over the unspent funding in transfer payments of 1.14 billion. However, at year end, they have only approved the rollover for non-rent of 35.4 million. The amount that was earmarked for ESCOM has not been returned to the department as a rollover. Financial performance. And transfers and subsidies, subsidiaries and entities. This is a breakdown of the 6.9 billion that we disclosed to all our entities and implementing agents. The biggest chunk of our budget lies in transfer payments. EDSM ESCOM was 1.6 billion. INET ESCOM was 2.9 billion. INET municipalities was 1.1 billion. In total, we have to disperse 6.9 million. We have transferred 5.7 million with an unspent of 1.1 billion. And as you can see from the EEDSM ESCOM, is 1.1 billion. That's the money that I spoke of. And 35.4 million is from INET non-grid. And this has been approved as a rollover of National Treasury. Chairperson, I think in terms of the biggest chunk of our budget going to transfer payments, I thought we should give you some background of what the department does in terms of monitoring some of these transfers that are dispersed to these entities. The management of transfer payments in terms of DORA are managed by one function, namely the INET Launch and Clean Energy, based on funding requests received from individual municipalities and subsequent project plans which are seized and included in the DORA implementation agreement. The finance branch manages the alignment of the DORA payment schedule with the department's drawings against the national revenue fund and payment requirements. the finance branch also assists the line function to redo their funds from a financial perspective, again in terms of non-performing municipalities, after some investigation is performed by line function. To transfer us the funding, we need to do an MOU with the municipality, and the municipalities have to respond in terms of the deliverables achieved. Verifications are performed, so or no movement of funds are investigated, and where possible, we need to get the funds, finances, or we allocate them to performing municipalities or entities. And the AG has also come aboard. Where possible, we also engage them in terms of responses. When we fund, there are challenges. We have the work team on the other side to ensure the funds are utilized for its intended purposes. Municipal energy efficiency and demand side management program challenges. Since the inception of the EEDSM program in 2019, there has been improvements on the management and administration of the program. However, following still remain a challenge. Poor EEDSM proposals submitted by municipalities due to inadequate technical skills or capacity of, to manage and implement this project. Signing of the agreements and submission of business plans as required by the DORA Act. Monthly, quarterly, annual progress reports are also not submitted timely, and if they do, also there has been information. Lack of accountability on reports provided, most of these reports are not officially signed off before being submitted, and they're also not authorized before they be submitted. Poor expenditure by most municipalities. This is evident in the amount being requested as a whole over. Municipal concept on measurement and verification of energy savings. However, it should be noted that for the 2014-15 financial year, the measurement and verification function has now been shifted and centralized within the Department of Energy. As we've heard some of the challenges, the department has also come on board and they have provided some assistance and support to municipalities. In the 2011-12 financial year, the department decided to develop an implementation and monitoring guideline for the EEDSM program. The guidelines serve as a practical tool for the development, implementation, and monitoring of the EEDSM measures within municipalities. In addition to the guidelines, the department also developed a set of indicators and the criteria for developing the proposals. This set of indicators to travel with the business plan and reporting templates to the grid from the South African German Energy Program with the support of the German International Corporation, which has proven to be successful in most years. In the 2013-14 financial year, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, MISA, also came aboard to provide support specifically on improving municipal capacity, project management on implementation of the program. The department also conducts structured workshops at municipalities to address any shortfalls on implementation agreements or any other challenges that they experience. We do provide some support. Some of the challenges on the IMO program, the position of the municipalities in ESCOM, is the slow delivery of electrification projects by the municipalities in certain ESCOM regions, lack of skills with a high vacancy rate within municipalities, administration, technical and project management functions, majority of the municipalities are not performing as required, internal municipal procurement is too long, hence the delay in the appointment of contractors and the subsequent delay in service delivery. NOGRID program, the slow rollout of NOGRID clinicians due to negative perceptions about NOGRID technologies and the practical shortcomings there. NOGRID sub-providers also struggle to survive financially due to the small customer base and the implementation of NOGRID projects in vulnerable locations. The funding and the cost of clinicians, more clinicians are done in the rural areas. Connection costs do increase substantially due to the terrain that they're working in, annual budgetary processes, forced projects planned and designed on an annual basis and not on a multi-year completion basis. And this is a challenge that has been discussed officially as well. Some of the proposed solutions on IMAP implementation. We have not set up regional steering committees and are established to announce the project assessment before funds are allocated, which does assist in having project monitoring and assisting projects. During the implementation phase, projects are monitored and evaluated. This qualifies role has been strengthened in terms of human capacity as well. After completion of projects, technical audits are conducted in order to assess the quality, technical standards and safety compliance. Not all the projects are regularly monitored and audited due to the financial and human capacity constraints. However, we have improved substantially from the past. Project allocations of over 5 million are prioritized for technical audits. Establishment of the department, monitoring and reporting unit of INET is currently underway. Chairperson, now we come to the financial position of the department, which is in the old terms, the balance sheet of the department. The portion is covered the assets. I'm going to stay on the slide, and the explanations of each item that I will speak to have explanations in the subsequent page. Unauthorized expenditure of 14.8 billion, which has been back from year one. That's the 2010-2011 in the financial year. This was transferred to the Ntunjeni municipality. The transfer was approved in March in 2010. It wasn't a cut of the split of the department. Department of Renewable Energy, the Department of Energy and Renewable Resources. At that juncture, there was a transfer that was approved of 14.8 million in March. However, the transfer only went through in May due to a rejection on the system. The money was put to its correct recipient, the correct amount was dispersed, and it was used for intended purposes as well. However, it was paid from the incorrect vote. It was paid in the next financial year. By virtue of the fact that of the rules of treasury, it has been classified as unauthorized expenditure. This expenditure has been condoned. We've also presented it so far in November 2014, and we're just awaiting authorization for the financial portion of this. So it has been condoned, but without funding. Hopefully, COPA will confirm that position soon. The next item is cash and cash equivalents of 1.2 billion, and these are funds that we have in the department. And the 1.2 billion, the unspent funds, is used as part of that amount. This was related to National Treasury after the audit. Included in that cash and cash equivalent is also an amount of revenue collected, which has subsequently been related to National Treasury. And there's a small amount unallocated amount from the petroleum licensing section. Investment is an investment. The department is 100% shareholder in Nexa, and it owns 2,205 shares of 1 million each. That's the 2,205 investment. Giving a total of assets of 1.2 billion and its current liabilities, we have 1.2 billion voucher funds, which was unspent funds that has been surrendered, and receipts have also been surrendered, and there's a small amount due to staff or taxes on employee earnings, which also been paid up subsequent to year end. Chair, I'm going to skip the next few pages because I've explained all of that. I'll come down to now to financial position in terms of financial position of the department and the audit outcome in the last 4 years. From 2011-12, we had an unqualified audit for 2011-12. In 2012-13, we also had unqualified audits with 8 findings. In the 13-14, unqualified as well, with 14 findings. And in 14-15, we had an unqualified classified team audit and with 3 findings. So here, in the last few years, we've managed to improve. Finally, here, the department has submitted an unqualified audit, a team audit report. The department has completed an action plan to address all outstanding audits to general findings. And most of the findings were addressed at the 31st of July 2015. With that, I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Chair. We managed to go through 70 pages in 1 hour. In the next of the topic, we basically said 1 page a minute. Thank you very much for that. What did we get? Can we now allow the members to this explanation to raise questions or comments? You can do it either on the narrative part of the report or on the financial part of what is called program or the financial part. But can I
also then request that we follow the arrangement that we have, where we allow a member to put a minimum of 30 questions, and then give every member a chance, and then see if we have extra time to do another round. So what we'll do is we'll take a first round of 30 people, 30 members, and then give you an opportunity to answer, so we'll ask you to take your notes on that, and proceed to that. I noted the hand of Honorable Father, Honorable Timunia, and then Honorable Dishani, let me also say to you that Honorable Father is from Northern Cape, Honorable Timunia is from Mpumalanga, and Honorable Dishani is from Limpopo. They may just, when they raise these questions, also to be from the set of the province. They are representing their unison. Thank you very much, Honorable Father.
Thank you, Chi. As you are all well aware, Northern Cape is trying to sort out the energy crisis in South Africa with the summit we've got there. It would actually be nice if the guys can get on the grid. So this is my first question. I'm not to the department, and the question that is actually quite serious, because I see a lot of these stations going up everywhere. If you fly over the Northern Cape, it actually looks like a mirror with all the sun energy that there are up in the Kalahari areas where you've got all these clean energy that we are trying to create. I would like to know, specifically the one that we did oversight on as well, there's that huge tower just outside Huntington with a look, or that to create energy with steam with a huge tower. How much megawatts are we getting from this Northern Cape power plant? And I'm talking about Kimberley, there are all these together. The effect that it has on helping with energy, and how much of these stations are already connected to the power grid? What is the implications of that? Okay, and sorry, I'm putting everything into one honorable chair, but would it not be advisable to get more of these power plants going? Because I must say, I think it is much cheaper than some of the other energy solutions. If you could give me some feedback on that, and how much, as I say, are connected there. Then, on your oversight on Petro yesterday, I mean, 14, we raised the 14.5 billion impairment at Petro yesterday. Now, I believe it to be much lower. Now, if you look at the word, sorry, I mean, I'll be gone, so I actually just attend myself in this chair. But I would look at the impairment, and you know, when you look at the impairment, it actually says that the reduction in the state capital, the total capital, is less than the value of the company capital. So this is 15.4 billion of the capital of the stock, so it's less than that. Now I want to know, why did the department did not do better in doing oversight on that? Is they going to actually investigate this?
Thank you very much, Honorable Junior.
My first question is on slide number 12, since the regarding environment. I see there are provinces which are scoring 0-0 there. Can somebody expand on that? I don't really understand what does it mean.
It couldn't be apparent.
My second question, Shay, is through this massive electrification problem, how far is the department? I would really want to know. I know it's not your primary mandate, but I really want to know how far can you really, in terms of figures, or you can estimate, how far do you impact on the creation of black corners of the meat production? Because I know it's not your primary mandate, but so this program can then change the economic structure of the country big time. But how far do you go as a department? It may not be a primary function. My last point is on the finances chair. I am a layman when it comes to finances, but I see your liabilities and assets are almost the same. It means it's roughly 50, 50, 50, 50, 40, 48, 40, whatever, because they're almost the same.
Can clarify that? Maybe it would be better if you explain to us if we improve on your understanding in terms of your balance sheet when you were to compare the previous financial year and the financial year under review in this particular presentation. I may contact later, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I've got time and maybe after a revisit session, I'm going to ask you to allow me to visit because it's another meeting. And when, whatever decision you're going to take for me to not go forward to give time to go forward, I will support. My question, let me start with the one on page 59. The department is complaining about the poor, what was in the DSM proposal that the government has due to United Nations appeal. But they are saying they are seeing an improvement when it comes to the strategy. So I don't know if ever they feel this technical problem and they are saying they are seeing an improvement whereby they still have a challenge of signatures on some of the work. I really need clarity here. I don't understand. The other one, I was told by the Honorable Timmy when it comes to this 00 result, when it comes to the provinces. But I want to ask the other one on page 15. They are saying they are really taking the clean fuel program as well as investment in new refining capacity. And they also have a minister formulated a task team, but we are looking towards when this task team is going to start with the work, or I think that is already, I just want to know if ever the task team is that work, and if it's that work, when are they starting, if they have started, when did they start, and how far are they now. And the other thing, because the Congo province is not jealous, it would want to congratulate the department on getting the clean audit.
I noticed you only posed two.
Yes, the next one was asked by the one of the members of the team.
I am quite mindful that we have a bigger team than the two staff members give the presentation, and you are at liberty to delegate responsibility for answers to other members of the team. But then we would request that they maybe just indicate their name and what happened within the department, purely for the compliance system. So on that, Ms. Chetty, we are your hands.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairman. Let's thank the questions. The questions, I will act like just like a traffic officer. So I will say some of them because our colleagues from Clean Energy is not here. I will take some of those questions. And then trillium questions are Mr. Honourable deal with. Other financial questions, Mr. Chetty and the team will deal with. And then on the Petra Issa environment, Mr. Kanto will deal with it. And on the education one, I will again deal with that one. So it's three questions I want to detail in terms of what section of the department is in there. In terms of the first question on the renewable energy program, the ESP that big tower outside of the that program, that one is still in process of completion. It's not being completed, not supplying electricity. I think my need to mention that that is quite new technology. That so-called CSP construct solar power is a new technology, but it's a huge potential for it because it has the difference. Your solar hot, the PV solar hot, making sun convert the rays into electrons. You can only do that when the sun shines. The CSP is taking the heat of the sun and heating up a certain crystals that you can store in the container. It's like a geyser. It's a heater that's well insulated.
use that heat, then later to drive a turbine generator. So advantage of that technology is that it doesn't give you electricity when the sun is shining. It wants to give electricity beyond that time. Not right through the night, but in a couple of hours. The fact is that Spain, I think, US, and Argentina's also mentioned it. It's different. There is usually two things where I signed up that one. That's the one of Escom, and then there's three others that. So this is a bit more than what was being asked for. I just want to mention it, because people are seeing that, how this is related to the Pyrrhic program. When we talk about the energy mix, so that's the people of energy. But also in terms of the question of how far are we with the renewable energy program, I just mentioned that up till now, 92 contracts have been signed. So it means 92 of these farms or generators that will be erected. And now they're different phases. Remember, you sign and then you get financial closure, then you need to do the contracting and then implementation. So up till now, of the 92, 40 of them are operating. They're producing just over 2,200 megawatts of electricity into the grid when the sun is shining and wind is blowing. It's majority in Northern Cape, a little bit in Free State, Eastern Cape, and Western Cape. These technologies are spread. What it means is that in data, when the wind blows, today, the wind is moderately blowing on the coastline, we have good sun in England. It offsets between 10 and 15% of generation in daytime already supplied by those technologies. And then the other good news about it is that up till September this year, if you see the amount of electricity generated by these renewables, what it means for the environment, we have offset 4.6 billion tons of CO2 already. Already, and still half this time. So there is some good stories that comes out of this. In terms of more, I think if you allow me, it's going to take like 3-4 minutes to just go through that one. It's a perception is cheaper. It depends on how we draw the boundaries. If you look at the effects on the ground, is not cheaper. It's slightly more expensive. Because why? For that moment it produces electricity, it's cheaper. But we have, electricity is a real-time product, so it needs to be available 24 hours. So it is not supplied, what is the offset of that? You need to have something else, a generator, that supplies electricity when that is not supplied. And so you have that, when it applies, it's cheap. When it not supplies, you have on top of that something to cover it. So, in that respect, it's not a one-to-one relation, because it is someone else, a generator, that you need to maintain or build to back up 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night when you need electricity. So that is not, as you said, it's not a one-to-one ratio. Another question comes from Europe, they're doing it differently and they're cheaper. The difference between Europe and Africa is that we are an island in terms of a network. We are connected to the grid, but not to receive electricity, but to supply electricity when there's extra electricity. We do receive Gorobasa on contract, the supply, but nowhere else in the region we connected to the grid. So we the anchor that supplies into the region. In Germany, as an example, and the Scandinavian countries where this is utilized extensively, they can do it because they connected to a megabit to the whole Europe. So when the wind is not blowing, the sun is not shining, they can tap from hydro or nuclear from front or from gas. So then, but we don't have that. But we have what we have and then renewables. So our system is totally different. So just to give you an indication, Germany is the lead in terms of renewable energy. The total maximum capacity that they use in winter is just over 70 megawatts. Our maximum use is like 38,000, 36,000 megawatts. That's 72,000 megawatts. The renewables that are installed is already over 30,000 megawatts. But renewables are only contributing to like 20% to 22% of
the temple. So if you link to the announcement, they say 50% of the digital capacity is renewable, but I can't survive all the time because of these testing issues. But the technology is true. So it's, my point is to generate a bit more, but I think it's important that we just deal with it. Why after Mike, I'm just going to deal with the issues that I want to address on my side. Just on the provincial numbers on slide 12, those are just a breakdown of the third round of 50 students that are sent out for training. That's a breakdown. So it's just a number, and you'll see the reason why it's so high. It started with the people that surround the nuclear environment and where it's going to take place. There's a growing number that's coming that is going to present the whole country. So I think just to look at this, it's just a snapshot for the first bunch. There's hundreds of people that need to be trained. So it's more than just this group. How far are we with the education program? I mentioned that from the start of the program, and I have this slide and I can show it, is that under the government electrification program, 6.6, just over 6.6 million households have been electrified. Now there's a huge number parallel to that has been installed by a private, you know, when you built a new house or new complex or so forth. That's still included. Only in a government subsidy program. Now, maybe that's a huge number. If you convert it into reality, what it means is that for each working Danish African, each 35 seconds, a new connection is being made. That's not in the country. And that's a huge achievement that has not always been celebrated. Where we are now, we're 87% electrified in the country. The areas that still need to electrify is pretty difficult because they're far off the grid. And it takes a much more effort and funds to electrify. But we keep with our topic, we keep innovative methods. And as of last year, built a lot of infrastructure to ensure that we can connect thousands to those infrastructure. I think that's part of basically the ones that I can deal with. Can I just ask, Rafa, can you deal with the bigger issue on the, it's nice that you can pass the board.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Lloyd Gunter. I'm the acting DJ for Governance and Compliance at this point of stage. Chair, the issue of the FSSA increment of 14.4 billion. I think what we need to really to explain that the increment is not a level 2 thing. You know, it's not just part of the investment in FSSA Ghana being impaired by about 2.7 billion and also as a result of project equipment, you know, which was meant to sustain the way forward, not delivering the amount of resources that we had hoped for when the project was approved in Bridgehampton. You know, after this financial year, after the end of this financial year, the project has only delivered 10% of the resources and all the cash flows that were expected when the project was approved in 2011, hence the SFD implemented project. So the project was supposed to be a 5-1 project. You know, because of the terrain that we're exploring on in the ocean, you will find that although the gas was there, it could not be extracted properly. You know, so the gas output that they got was lower than what was expected when the project was started. And also, because obviously in the universe, there were a number of challenges with on the project management side. I think the main reason for the increment was the resources were very low, you know, 10% of what we expected at the beginning of the project, which was the issue, and also, as I indicated, there was that 2.7 billion that increment the Ghana aspect, and that was primarily because of the oil price that they have gone down from 110 to 50 at the end of financial year. So from $110 barrel to $50 a barrel, that affected the Ghana investment. So your investment in infrastructure projects is basically, it's based on the white track. But if the white track goes down, then the investment has to be met, you know. So that's the reason for the increase.
Okay,
the
one on the clean energy, after clean fuels,
fuel system up and down.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good day to you and to the members. It is always an honor and a privilege to come to the committee. Chair, my name is Chidiso Makubela. I am the DDG responsible for petroleum regulation. Chair, if I may be allowed, just to add on to the question or the response that Mr. Ganta has given on the petroleum matter, just to give some context, to say that in the last year, calendar year 2014, globally, oil companies have impaired no less than $35 billion. That is the context within which oil companies were operating last year. The figure could be as high as $53 billion, but as we speak right now, the confirmed figures are $35 billion. And that's because of, basically drilling that had not yielded the results that were thought to be there, and difficult terrain. Coming back to the petrol same matter, Chair, when the project was approved, there was an indication that to release the gas, basically what you need is to do fracking. And I think what then did not happen in the project is that at some point they changed tactics and decided not to pursue that option. And so the gas is there, it is trapped, it needs to be released. And in my view, with technology, the gas must be released. But it is a matter that the board petrol estate, is still with, and I believe that they will make an appropriate decision when the time comes. Coming to the issue, the question raised by Honorable Member Dikale, the clean fuel matter. Again, I think it's important, Chair, that I give a little bit of context to say that the petroleum sector in South Africa currently is undergoing major changes, major compressive, very fundamental change, Chair, in the sense that we have become an importing country, and we are increasingly becoming an importing country, and it is a reality in the short term. I believe that we've got to live with, but as indicated in the MDP, there's got to be some work done to enable a decision on a new refinery to be taken by 2017 as directed in the MDP. So that work is ongoing within the department. On the clean fuel issue, the task team is at work currently, and there are basically two issues that were sitting. The one issue is, who is going to pay for the upgrade of the existing refinery? The bill that we are looking at is no less than $53 billion. Now, there is a view that the oil companies are saying that the most of it should put all of them. And we are saying that, well, we also have to be mindful that we have an economy that relies on a lot of users. We have an electricity sector that relies on a lot of users. If now we are going to ask the end user to foot that bill, it means we are taking a bit out of the growth of the economy. And in an economy that already is facing some headaches. So I think that is a matter that we are still discussing. Because one thing, well, the motorists are footing the bill, but the asset does not belong to them. And that, those are the intense discussions that are ongoing there. Then the second one is to say that, well, what would happen if, you know, we go through this perhaps in a more phased manner, where you go from 500 that we have today, 500 parts per million sulfur, to 50 instead of 10. What would that mean? And would the bill be lower if we then phase it in and to say we're reducing the maximum sulfur allowed to 50 instead of to 10? And I think the issue there is that if we do that, we then would need to go back to the public and say that, well, the specifications are changing again. They are going to be slightly relaxed. Now, there are options, Chair, and members here, and the options are that while you could, some people are saying you can import the fuel, the clean fuel, but then at the same time, we are saying we've got refining capacity in the country that we cannot afford to, well, at this stage, I don't think it's in our interest to say that we're going to allow those assets to go to waste. So it's a balance that we're trying to strike in the discussion. And as I say, Chair, they are quite robust. As we are discussing, there have been merchants, normally referred to as traders, who have built, who have applied and been granted licenses to construct import facilities. One was last week inaugurated in KZN. It's owned by a company called Vopak. And also there's another one here in Cape Town, which is going to be built by a company called Vopak. Now, those facilities are capable of bringing in this enough fuel. And the issue then is what happens to the existing facilities in the country. And so it is important that the trust team come to a conclusion as soon as possible, because whatever happens, these other licensed entities are going to start impacting the existing facilities. So that's the reality, Chair. Perhaps if we had more time, we would actually give an indication as well as to what else is happening in the region, because in the region there have been significant changes. Countries in the region have taken petroleum assets very seriously. I mean, Botswana has built enough storage now that there will never face shortages. Mozambique has built enough storage that they will never face shortages. Similarly, Namibia is doing the same. So the whole petroleum sector is changing. I think with that installation in Durban that was opened last week, we are unlikely to face petrol and diesel shortages in that part of the world for the foreseeable future. Having said all of this, the situation is not the same when it comes to LT gas. The LT gas, we don't have enough production, we don't have enough import facility, and for that we still need to find a solution. Thank you, Chair.
Apologies, I know there's two questions that I think answer the one. Was on the issue of the technical skills on energy efficiency, and the other one was on the question of the black business and involvement. I could just make a copy of some of the information that I have. Now, though this might say secret, what happened is that the platform I use now, I realize it's not secret, I just want to copy it into the platform, the background. So my apologies for that. So it's not the stuff is on our website, etc. But the lease on the renewable IPPs per province,
We have all the data. If you want to know what page, where they were, we have all of that. That's just a summary. The amount of money in the system we have all of that. In terms of the potential of that there are two main components in this program. The one is the shareholding in terms of the local community, because local communities varies from 5 to 25% of these projects. Then is the building component, when the construction is taking place. And then also we need some operation. So we broke it down and see that it's not a cover of this. These are the different, and what we have here for the first two, because first 2 meters, because they said 2 meters, that is completed. And the others are still construction and process to be completed. So it can only then do this on the increased scale. But here, the specs on the ground that we can show. And there is still percentages as it's been fanned out. I can mention between the 3 and 4 it has increased because the first ground were the inaugurated grounds and there wasn't too much shedding. Specifically, some of these fees to pay by loans and the banks so assistance in the beginning. But as the program has get traction, they can process into the process so that I've improved. So next time we can hopefully have with the 3, which I will show me. This information, you can go to our website, click on the IDT office, and this information is there. It's open, all of it's open.
On the speaker, it says VA
And then I will share the last one that I just want to make reference to. What was the technical skills that what contributing to see improvement on energy efficiency demand side management. What happens is your energy efficiency program, you to come into a building like this, you need to have certain skills, you have to have certain qualifications to do an energy audit. And it's a handful of these people in the country, because it's also growing technology. And all of that sits in the hands of private companies. Municipalities don't have that luxury to have a person or that sort of thing. So it took some time for them to get through the process, getting people in to do the audits. So municipalities don't have the money to do the audits. So they first have to have a contract, then get the company in, and then they have to do an audit. So there's some time that is lost, but we tend to, what is your project? We lost some time. That is the reason for it. To do the analysis, because you need to have a before and after analysis. It took time before they could do the before, and now there's traction they can say to have companies at the system. My apologies, I didn't answer that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
I think it's just one for me in terms of balance sheet. Okay, I've got a sustainable here. The department sees 7.4 billion in terms of cash resources from the purpose. Now, we are just in terms of our performance in terms of achieving the targets and spending of that money. But does it mean that if I disperse 100% of that budget, that the department would be seen to be improving or not? But as I said earlier on, our processes have matured. So by the mere fact that DORA says transfer the funds, the department will not just transfer if certain deliverables are not met. So here you would find under current liabilities, there's a 1.1 million that has not been deferred. Not because we didn't want to, but there were challenges in the program. So the department made an informed decision not to transfer and to have a better, improved implementation model for solar water heating. So the fund, if I can put it this way, the disbursement fund, it has improved because now we do so with proper prudence in mind and to ensure deliverables and targets are met. But our asset base has improved. We have additions to the assets. And the current liabilities at year-end and subsequent to year-end, we have come down to a null. And we work on a cash basis. So all the funds that I receive, I have to surrender that treasury. It is not like a normal business situation where I have to show a profit. My profit will be seen in the unspent funds, where I have some savings. Even that savings, I have to surrender to treasury. So there has been that savings because we have cost austerity measures implemented. So we have improved year on year. However, would there have to be some explanation of why certain figures appear the way they do at hearings. Like if they look at the unsaved balance, which I've explained. Some of it was all over, the others were surveillance because we have a new implementation model. And the funds will come to us in the outer years. If I can say that I hope I've not confused you more than what the strike was explained. If I could say that the balance sheet is on a cash basis and it's not like a normal business out there. And we have shown improvements in terms of the disbursement of our funds and the monitoring and evaluation of our projects. And you will see in financial results over. So we have improved in the biggest deal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I allow you to continue and be a bit longer with your questions on this one, or rather with your responses on this one, because the whole energy thing is so important for us in the committee of bringing this development in the country. I will not be able to afford the same liberty in terms of our second. I notice on your own one letter, which is from the Eastern Cape. Honourable is from the eastern part of the Cape. Honourable
Ted,
you're calling Ted is Cup.
No, no.
Are you Cup?
No, no, no.
Okay. So let us the three of you then.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I need to ask the department if the Integrated Energy Plan 2015 is readily available and whether we could have a copy of that, please. I'm also looking for the International Atomic Energy Agency report on the readiness for nuclear energy in South Africa. I still haven't seen a copy and I would love a copy. Then when it comes to renewable energy, this is such a really exciting field. The solar water heater project that has been transferred from Eskom back to the department, but the money has gone back to Treasury. That really worries me because where are we with this project now? Surely it is going to continue, and I hope that we are going to do something about the target that we set in the department many moons ago. The new geyser technology is very interesting, and if it's for domestic purposes, I would like to know if it's market tested and where one can read up on that. The gas station at Kruger Development Agency, the Visa, is now in operation, but it's under diesel. So I am wondering why it started off under diesel and wouldn't it have been better to start off with the project directly as gas, and by when will we switch over to gas? And lastly, there's so many, Dr. Barnard referred to new buildings and energy, green energy being produced there and so on, but what provision in the last year has been made for net metering, where you put it, electricity back into the system, because I find very little to read about that, and everybody is trying to stay away from that. Granted, you can't make the meter run backwards, because you can't sell electricity to a municipality or Eskom at the rate that you are buying it from. It's like the exchange rate when you go overseas. Can't work like that, but I need to know what progress has been made there, and then lastly, the fracking, I'd like to know whether the water crisis has been sorted out in the fracking in the Kuru area. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. First, I would like to know from the department, I'm picking up that in page 63, the department is also talking about the municipalities that are not performing as expected, and I've also noticed that there are plans in the department in terms of addressing some of the challenges that
the municipality is facing. What I would like to know from the department is the work that they are doing in terms of capacitating or helping municipalities really showing any indication of improvement or not. And if it is not happening, what is the plan of the government in consultation with the Department of Culture? And again, there's another page that they are talking about the understanding due to, say, an issue of municipalities that do not perform as expected. And it is in line with the infrastructure development in those municipalities. So again, you want to check because if there is a challenge within the crop of infrastructure, this thing will continue to be like that. And within those municipalities will not be able to deliver on electricity because of that reason. And from the department side, that's what they will do is to continue to do that. Definitely they have to take the money back, but the challenge remains in that area. So I just want to know from them what is the plan moving forward, because it's such a problem. And no one is accepting the issue of understanding, or the government that is not spending due to whether your agency or else the municipality. Those are the questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. So, the reality is that Mozambique is going to be one of the booming countries in the few years. In terms of coal production, gas, and every material that you would want to know. If you want to go to Mozambique today, you move from Maputo to Nyabani, or you go to Taitai or Bayer, you would see what I call the Spanish invasion, the Chinese invasion. China has seen the possibilities in Mozambique and they are heading to those possibilities. If you look at what China has done, and it's even appreciated by the Western team quite a bit, 1.4 billion consumers maintaining a 7% growth even under the difficult of times. If we are going to take what you are saying about our possibility to set into gas production, aren't we looking into the possibility of Mozambique? And what are the probabilities? Secondly, the Great Finger Project. Are we on track? Are we moving towards the objective as set? We know that there are other countries that are also involved because we have committed in the agreement that we are going to be also tapping into the supply to ensure that domestically DRC can be able to benefit, but they can also be able to stimulate the economic growth out of the grain production. Well, what about the other countries that are going to be on our way in terms of our own connection as we bring the power grid back into the country? Are we on track on that? I saw in your presentation we were talking about service providers. But don't the municipality today don't expect service providers to bid, and only when they have done that they are told that they are not compliant with the state house provisions and whatever. What is the department doing to ensure that there's also upskilling of the skills required out of the service providers that you're trying to do? In appreciation of the skills revolution that you want to create with regards to the NLD project. The other issue, what is the practical solution? We have a program in the NCOP we call the Provincial Week. And when we go to our own provinces and we engage with municipalities, they are telling us that, look, we have the responsibility as municipality also to do what we call revenue collection, revenue generation. And part of it can we see a possibility that we can be able to be license holder so that we can be able to sell electricity so that our people can be able to have better access to services as a municipality. However, your department seemingly it might not be you, it might be one of your SOEs. That's why I'm asking what might be the practical solution to that.
You might advise them.
Do I think correctly that you're spending 250 million on administration? Thank you.
And just thank you for your questions. Again, I'll take some of them and think of some of the members. Some of the officials are not here. And then I will ask Mr. Makarada and the CFO to assist me in some of the questions. Firstly, on the IEP, the energy plan, that is part of our commitment in our IEP. Is for that to be finished by the end of the financial cycle, so by the end of March next year. And that will then be an update of those documents. We're busy internally looking at the model of the data and to update that. So that is commitment we have to be made. That's an idea that's been published. On the International Energy Atomic Energy Association report on the African nuclear industry, there's a response report you prepared and on its way to cabinet for consideration, and that's in for cabinet to release or not. So that's a process that we intend to. So on the renewable energy and solar heater project, I think it is a concern, correctly so been raised on the fact of buffering back. But I think what's also important, we also have to understand what why. On the previous ESCOM rebate model, if you register, it was as simple as that. You open up the website, you register as a supplier, you import stuff from somewhere abroad at cheap, no quality control, slam it onto a roof, not checking if the water is right, not checking if the system is compatible with the water quality, not even checking if the roof structure is right, nothing. Because there's no way, if you register that you get a number and then you can write it up. The process we engage in now is totally different. Now, the change years from that to what we're doing now means you have to stop completely and to re-educate, re-localize the local. Now, what is it that we have now industry that can make African products in African conditions? And it doesn't take like this. To change that, it takes a while. And that over process, it was never intended that it was not the one we started with. So that dead period, we couldn't spend the money because we could spend some important stuff. What are you going to achieve? You can say, yeah, we did another 250,000, everybody's happy. But then again, half of them is working after 3 months. Is that where we get? No. We want South African products with African conditions. Take us a while. We have to get through getting SLEs approved. And if you, I don't know if any of you at any time want to get a product through SLEs approval, it's a little bit time. It's tough. It's very tough. It doesn't happen in 1 month. It doesn't happen in 6 months. It happens more than a year. So you couldn't use that product while it's been approved. So that all counted to the dead period. And logically, National Treasury said that my cost today, you need to go back to them. It's a logic way to deal with it. That's why the CFO originated, you know, discussions with this. In the end of the financial realm, we keep working in a 5-year cycle. And yes, it will come back. You will catch up with it. So for now, I must acknowledge. But I'm going to feel much better. We have 10,000 systems now in the loop as an African market, SDS market, than sitting with 250,000 imported stuff that we don't know which is coming from, no guarantee of quality. So that's where we have to change gears, and it doesn't mean that we accept that, but we are going forward with it. The biggest issue is incorrect around some diesel. it will still introduce no gas infrastructure. If natural gas does not bring in this gas, you have to bring it to certain liquid form and need to be regasified. It's all plants you need to bring it in on land. I'm busy now with that process. We will make an announcement in the near future on this in various parts of the country to allow them for generators initially to use natural gas in its natural form. But then when you transport, remember, you can't build a pipeline from the northeast or the middle of Africa to here. It's completely to bring it around into our. So that project you're busy dealing with, as a matter of fact, right now, EAAs have been done and been completed around the building of those conversion structures in different parts of the country. So as soon as that's been completed, those generators manufactured to be converted. So it's just now, what is the option? No electricity, we're running on diesel. So we are running diesel here for the conversion into gas, the moment the gas is added there. The energy efficiency, then entering, yes, that's a one that it's a developing technology. To get to the answer, the process is very well developed. The regulator has put out draft regulations, and that will be finalized with them in the near future. They're busy with the finalization by the board, that will then be published as regulations for by these two municipalities and the issue of what they need to do. It's not only about money, it's not only about electrons, it's also security matters. Remember, if you don't suddenly allow each household to have a generator on its roof, it sounds good to have a generator on its roof, not dependent on the utility. It sounds good to be standing in the union and the next bride. But technically, there's a huge problem. You need to, again, like the utilities, you know what you have to put in there, you know what meters you have to put in there. And on top of that, if you have the utility, running utility, you can't allow anyone to just run a generator on its roof. If you have a breakdown, you need to know where to switch off. If you suddenly have to work on a network, and you switch off your mains, and suddenly the electricity coming from the other side, it's going to be vital. So there's all these stuff that we need to consider, and also the financial implications for these projects. So that is being done. It's not a simple issue. These pilots have been run by this speaker, and also now some fellows running pilots, and there's some good answers coming out of these challenges. The threatening one, I can mention about the but just before that, just on the other one, on the performance it's a continuous process. To assist municipalities in terms of making sure they're compliant. There's two ways of doing it. You can do training, or you ensure that you make your process so simple that it's easier for them to comply. So that's the process we're applying right now. But, honorable members, you know what the turnaround in local authorities. Just as you have to say, what promise to think they want to work, then 35% are leaving per year. It's a continuous process. I think Grand Kenya, it's on track, it's a complex system. It's a technical, political, financial that we need to deal with. It's different countries, technical, different systems. The different systems involved. That's why right now, these committees are sitting, and Mr. Vaughan is the chair of the technical committees on the African side. That's why he's not here. That's why I have to answer this question. I think just in terms of the licensing issue, I remember, it is a question of the company. It's more than just a piece of paper to have the access to say, I'm going to now get revenue. If you just do yourself go to NASA's website, just see how many municipalities are making a profit out of the sales electricity. And it's a cost. Now, if you say you only get a license, it's not like a car, you get a license driving a car. You must also own the car. And I get a license for owning that network that's not working. You have to maintain. It's not easy business. And a lot of you see the dollars coming in, but not realizing the balance sheet is starting to look so good. Just the other areas on a network that might be seen. But if you spread to those countries, it's much more than just a mess up that's issuing. There are also constitutional aspects too. But it's the way that it's come out of the voice in the whole, looking at the whole electricity supply structure that we need. So I just want to ask Mr. McDonald on the fracking, and then the CFO on the $250 million for
Thank you, Chair. The, on the fracking, I think at this stage, the approach that has been adopted by the government of being conservative in their approach to, you know, shale gas and exploitation of that resource, I think has, in our view, is the correct approach. There has been currently a strategic environmental assessment that has been commissioned by Environmental Affairs Department. This is similar to what has been done in the U.S. Unfortunately, in the U.S., they only thought about this strategic environmental assessment after the fracking had happened. So I think the approach that has been taken in our country is the correct one, to do the strategic environmental assessment, which will then look into the issues of water, what do you do, and at the same time, allowing waterless fracking technology to develop, because that is growing, for example, in Canada as an option that can be pursued. So we can have the benefit from that. Just on the, then if I can just move on to Mozambique. Mozambique, Chair, Honourable Member, is a good story for South Africa. And I think when we talk about other countries in Mozambique, we need to be mindful of the fact that more than 85% of the gas currently produced in Mozambique comes to South Africa. And I think, you know, for a country that is not necessarily always to the benefit of the recipient country, because the other country's population then begins to question. So, but I must say that we are currently benefiting, and in fact, the pipeline that brings that gas to the country is owned by government of South Africa, government of Mozambique, as well as SAPO. So, you know, it is benefiting us. We are looking to grow this cooperation. We just recently, with a state visit, the two heads of state gave us a mandate to enhance the cooperation, and we are doing exactly that. The pipeline that brings gas from Mozambique is being expanded. It will bring more gas into South Africa. And additionally, SACOL has been awarded two more blocks, basically to drill for gas, and that can only be good for the country. So we are looking into that, and actually things are happening on the ground. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can we just have the questions complete? Did you have something also on the...
Thank you, Chair. I think there was one question under administration. They did have a budget of 260 million, it's been 237, but this area does need also budget allocation, it covers the ministry, the DG's office, internal audit, the CFO's office, corporate and governance and compliance, corporate services. Under corporate services, it covers security, office accommodation, debt head office and regional offices, IT, HR, membership fees, communication. So it's a fair amount of support functions that takes place under administration and the constitution of the class. Thank you.
I think that we have some more questions. We have to find a way in which to do it. I would put mine there for three quick rather comments. The retrofitting that we're talking about, using government buildings, you have not given us an indication as to whether there is progress in regard to what's up. The second one is that in your report, you don't refer to Cecil anywhere. And I was wondering who has the responsibility for oversight over Cecil. Because great investment, but they have been a vital successor, and they have been responsible for oversight as a piece for companies that are associated with some individual major shareholders. The final one that I would just want to raise as well, I will comment, is to say that I visited NASA on a private visit and was very impressed with the training and skills development program that they have here at NASA. And we all benefit from it. When I see this expenditure, or rather the education that you have for nuclear spend and training in China, and the 33 people that went from Hawaii, I'm also saying that it will benefit other problems as well. But all that training that we provided at NASA, I saw a note up there showing the Department of Trade and Industry, and I'm assumed that them funding the skills development and not the Department of Energy. But then also the point that has been raised by Honorable Father now about the finance of NASA. We're not going to go into it, but it is a matter that is deep concern for us. So we hope that when we engage with you again, you'll be able to put our minds at ease vis-à-vis the interventions of the progress that has been made with regard to the situation. It is a very important, very strategic institution. And therefore, we feel it is important for us, the members of Parliament, to have confidence in the capacity of this. So I'll just put that as comment to you now. I'm looking at the clock, and there's two of our members have to run, because we both, it's almost like our last meeting, one of our men has to run now. Let me put that in. Thank you very much for the presentation. It was very helpful, and also wish you the opportunity to spare some of your energy during this. So members of the select committee, I think this is our last meeting for the year about the way that I lead the program. I don't see us having to come next year because we've done our business. But if we do not come back next year, I wanted to say to you that the chair of the select committee, we trust that you will do
No copies.